Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be worshiping with you this morning. And I would like to take the time right now to wish everyone here a happy Father's Day this morning. And I hope that if you have a dad that is still with us today, I hope that you take the time to contact him or visit him and let him know how much that you appreciate him. And if you are a father here this morning, I hope that you can count your blessings today. Psalms 127:3 says this, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And I want you to realize as a father the extremely important role that you play and that is vital to your family. And you should never underestimate the impact that you leave on your children or on the next generation. If you have a young family, the things you teach them, the things you care about, the importance of your priorities, your spiritual commitment, your commitment to your family and to others. Do you model Christian attributes to them? What about those of you that have children that are all grown up? Do you encourage them? Do you have open communication with them? Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to lend a listening ear? Are you ready to give advice if they need it? You know, regardless of where you are at this morning in the fatherhood spectrum, do you consider your children a gift of the Lord? I hope you do, and I hope you are blessed today by it. And as I thought about today, and as I reflected on my own dad, and I reflected on, you know, many of the values that he taught me growing up, I also thought of some memories. And one of the memories that I thought of was when I was, I would say maybe 3 or 4 years old, I would often maybe not often, but I would sometimes imitate my dad. And some of you know what I'm saying. As a child, you imitate your father. So, you know, my father would come in and I would, you know, imitate his moves. And, you know, he'd sit down at the dinner table and I would sit down the way he would. And I would, you know, say the same things. If he took some food, I'd do the exact same thing. He'd get up to answer the phone like he so often did. Whenever we sat down to have a meal, it seemed the phone would ring and he would get up and answer the phone. And I would do the same, and I'd mimic his movements. I'd go there and answer the phone, and you know, I'd imitate him. I'd do what he did, and I think you like to get the picture this morning. And it's no different. You know, the reality is that we all follow or we all imitate someone. Those of you that are serious about golf, maybe you imitate or you copy a certain golf grip and a golf swing, and you try for a while. If somebody has success and you know of a golfer, you will try to imitate that so that you can have success as well. Maybe it's baseball. Maybe it's the way you throw a baseball. Maybe it's the way somebody swings a bat. You try to imitate that. You try to have the same success that somebody else did. It's no different in business. We see it. Somebody has success. We tend to imitate. We tend to follow those same examples. We tend to copy them. You know, I know for farming, if somebody tries something and it works, it's not long before it catches on, and other people are doing the same thing. Because, you know, so often we do it without really knowing that we do it. And I'm not saying that it's a wrong. It's not wrong. I'm not saying that you shouldn't imitate or that you shouldn't copy someone else's successes. But we generally do that to try to have similar results as what they did. And as I was thinking about this, and I thought about, what about Christians? And today being Father's Day, I especially thought, what about Christian men? What is it that we are pursuing? Who are we imitating? In 3 John, John tells us to imitate that which is good. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. And although John was possibly addressing a situation within the church, you know, it's advice that we can practice within our family, within our relationships, and even advice that we can take into business as well. And you know, I believe the message that I was led to today, there's truth that can be gathered for everyone. But a lot of it this morning will be directed to the men and to the fathers here this morning. On a bit of a side note, some of you that know me well know that I'm not a fan of certain children's books or children's movies. And one of these is the lovable Berenstain Bears, which some of you might be thinking, well, how can you not like the Berenstain Bears, these lovely creatures? And you know, as I was growing up as a wee little lad, they were probably my favorite. I liked the Berenstain Bears. I liked the stories. But a number of years ago, somebody pointed out to me, they said, you know, did you ever look at the role of the Papa Bear? Did you ever look at the male figure? And you know, since then, I guess you could say I'm no longer a fan. Not always, but quite often in the stories or in the movies, the Papa Bear is the one, he just kind of goes with the flow. He's kind of that bumbling, dim-witted bear of the family that just kind of rolls with it. And you know, some of you here may agree or disagree, which isn't really the point. But you know, the reason that I don't like it is I think it's too close to the actual truth, what we see in society today. You know, we see it all the time in society around us. Men neglecting to shoulder the responsibility that is placed on us. We see so many dysfunctional homes where the father has not been the role model or the spiritual leader that is needed at home. Too many homes, it is often the mother who has to play both roles because the biological father is absent in their lives. We see men all around neglecting commitment and responsibility because it scares them. They only look after their own selfish needs, whether that is in relationships or whether that is in their social circles with the friends that they gather with. They really only care about themselves. You know, men neglect to see the important role and the responsibility that they have in shaping the future and the importance of passing these values on to the next generation. So as Christian men, what are we doing? Who are we imitating? What does my Christian walk look like? Are you living a life that leaves an example for others to follow? Does your life reflect your relationship with your Father in heaven? Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian church, he said this, I believe it was in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." He's calling people to be imitators of what he is setting an example for. And the goal today is not to focus on where we fall short. Believe me, after putting a message like this together, I see holes in my own life, and I see many areas where I fall well short. But I hope that today that you can be challenged, encouraged, and reminded of the importance of living a life worthy to which you were called. And we need to understand the responsibility that falls on each of us, but especially as men. The life you live, the decisions you make, the things you say, your attitude, it matters and it influences people all around you, whether you think of that or not. And I would ask that you would take your Bibles this morning. If you could turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 17 in chapter 4 to verse 20 in chapter 5. And these verses that we're going to look at here this morning are a reminder to the life that we are called to live as children of light. You know, people should see the difference in your life as a Christian versus those that are non-Christians because of the way you live, because of the decisions that you make. And the verses that we are going to read here this morning give us some good practical advice in the way we show Christ to others. Ephesians 4, 17, starting in verse 17. "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of the heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth which is with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexually immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetousness, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon them, the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Luke's writings in Acts, we know that the city in Ephesus was quite consumed with occult practices and magic within the city there. Later, Paul then writes to the church in Ephesians, which in this chapter, and he gives them instructions on the truth within the redemptive work of God in Christ. And he gives instruction on the unity of the church and proper conduct within the church, the home, and within the world. And this passage of scripture that I read this morning gives us some excellent instruction on what it means to live a transformed life. In the first few verses I read, we see that our Christian walk needs to differ from those that are darkened in their understanding or futile in their way of thinking. It's because of this way of thinking and the hardness of their hearts that they are separated from God. We were created to worship God and to have a relationship with Him. There should be a distinction between those that have a relationship and those that don't. In verse 19, Paul uses the word callous here, and that word could also be translated to either mean heartless or not caring about others, to not care how others feel or what others think. And the gospel, you know, seems foolish to those that have hardened their hearts in this way and that are still being ruled by their selfish and evil desires. Paul goes on to say in verse 20, he says, "This is not the way you learned Christ." And I think, what about us? How did we learn Christ? You know, what about you and I? Are we walking in the way that we were instructed and taught about Christ? In verses 21 to 24, Paul writes about the transformation that needs to take place inwardly. It starts inside, it starts in the heart. In Christ, we are made new, and this starts with a renewal of our minds. The way we think needs to be different. Before we accepted Christ as a Savior, we were controlled by our old sinful nature, by our old sinful desire to not do like we should. And we were corrupt through those deceitful desires. But it's with the power of the Holy Spirit we head in a new direction. We take on that new role. We have a new way of thinking. In the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, we see that man is created in the image of God. And when we put on that new self and we become transformed, we are transformed. It says in verse 24, it says that we are created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, if we put on that new self. And this is not a change that happens once. It's not a change that, you know, happens in an instant. It's a daily and it's a conscious commitment that you need to make. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 9, he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's something that you need to do daily. In verse 25, he starts with the word therefore, referring to if we have put on that new self, and then our words and our actions need to show that. And these verses may have been written to show us how to live an edifying lifestyle within the church and with each other as members. But I think that we should practice this in all our relationships. You know, we need to stop lying. We need to stop destroying trust, but instead to speak truth and to build people up. What about anger? Are you consumed by anger? You know, although not all anger is sin, our anger needs to be controlled. It can't get the best of us. At times, we should be angry with sin. But when we vent thoughtlessly or when we blow off steam, all we're doing is we're going to hurt others and we're going to hurt relationships when we do that. And so many relationships are destroyed by anger. And as men, this is difficult at times. You know, stress gets to us, whether that's in work, you know, with our schedules and busy lifestyles and working with people. How do we relate to that? How do we react? What about at work and dealing with customers and business? Do you let your frustration and your anger take over your emotions? What about at home? So many homes and relationships are destroyed because of anger. As Christian men, we need to be different. We need to stand apart. There is a reason that it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, because nothing good will ever come from it. Deal with it right away. Don't let anger get a foothold in your life. Don't give it an opportunity. Don't bottle it up inside. Don't feed it. Nursing your anger is only going to divide, and sadly, this is how many homes are broken. Spouses upset with each other, parents upset with children. Make amends before the end of the day. Reconcile before it is too late. Reconcile before, like it says, before the sun goes down. And I think, you know, as I thought about this and I thought about my childhood and my father and I thought of the example that he set, I seldom saw my dad show his anger. Always in control of his emotions. Going on to working. When we work, it should be diligent, honest work, done with our hands and abilities that God has given us so that we can willingly share it with other people. You know, we shouldn't be lazy using our time to steal or take advantage of others. You know, we might see that in the business world. We might see the goal just to get ahead, to use other people as a stepping stone. It doesn't matter as long as we, whether it's honest or dishonest, but as long as it benefits self. Seems to often be the way people tend to do business, which is unfortunate. We need to be different, and at times it can be difficult, but we need to be honest, like it says. What about our talk, the things we say? You know, it's so often when men or guys get together, and, you know, it can be the same for ladies as well, I know that. But we think our conversations don't really matter, you know, if we're all of the same sex. But it says that no corrupt talk should come out of our mouth. Maybe you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, then what about your attitude? You know, how is that reflected in your speech? You know, are you positive? It makes mention if the occasion is right. What about the occasion? Are you building up or are you tearing down? And, you know, I'm so often reminded by my good wife that I need to see the glass half full. My tendency is so much to always see the glass half empty. I tend to focus on the negative. And I tend to let that take over. And, you know, we should focus on the glass being half full. We need to focus on the positive, and we need to build on the positive. And at the end of verse 29, it says that it may give grace to those who hear. Our speech, we should show grace, and it should give grace to those who hear. And we need to make sure that we benefit others by our words. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. If we've experienced God's forgiveness, then we need to get rid of the bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the slandering each other, the brawling, the malice. And there could be many things here, but these kinds of actions only grieve the Holy Spirit. Instead, it says, at the end of the chapter there, it says we need to show kindness, love, forgiveness. and through it will show the fruits of the Spirit, which we find in Galatians 5, 22 to 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Going into chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul, he calls us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You know, just as I shared at the beginning, how often as children we want to imitate our parents, so too we need to imitate God with a love like he loved us. Our love needs to go beyond our own interests and self-seeking motives, but one of self-sacrificing service. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, when Jesus was addressing the disciples, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Going on to verse 3 of chapter 5, Paul reminds believers that there shouldn't be any sexual immorality, impurity, or covetousness found in their lives. In the NIV translation, it talks about not even a hint of these should be found. And I know a lot could be said and building on this verse alone, but I like the way Joshua Harris wrote in his book, Not Even a Hint, when he was talking about lust and he was talking about sexual sins. Joshua said this in his book. He said, "But I have found that certain seemingly insignificant sinful compromises can build up in my system. My bigger outbreaks of sin are usually triggered by smaller sins that I wasn't diligent in guarding against. I'm talking about the daily, even hourly decisions of what to watch, read, listen to, and allow my mind to think about and my eyes to rest upon." There's a reason we shouldn't have a hint of this even in our lives. If we have a hint of these in our lives, it generally comes out in it grows into something more. It grows into something bigger. Verse 4 reminds us again of our speech. The coarse speech and obscenity that is so common around us at times, we don't really guard against it. We're so used to it. You know, the filthy language that we hear, so many people use, it has a way of corrupting our minds. And then it starts to consume our thoughts. What are you doing with your language and the way you relate to others? Paul cautions us, saying that these things have no place in Christian conversations. Instead, be thankful. Reflecting God's presence in our lives, we need to understand the severity of the sins listed here. As he talked about the sexually immoral, the impure, the one who is no adulterer, he goes on to say that they do not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. We need to guard against anyone who tries to tell us something different, that, oh, it's okay, you're saved. It's okay if you do these things. It's not. Our lives need to be different, and God will judge those who are disobedient to the faith, as we read. We need to walk as children of light. If we walk in the Spirit, of the fruit will show in our lives as Christians. We shouldn't go back to the way we lived before, taking part in what Paul calls fruitless deeds of darkness. And this can be any pleasure activity that results in sin. Do your actions model what you believe in secular circles? What if you're out and about, you know? What if it's playing sports or what you're doing afterward? What if it's business meetings? Do you just go with the flow? Do you take part in any activity, regardless of what that is? We already read the verse in 3 John, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." And we go on to read, "Light and darkness does not mix." When we lose something in a dark room or it's dark outside, when we lose something, the first thing we try to do is we go find a light. Either that's a flashlight, we turn a light on in a room, because we need to find it. You know, our lives should do the same. The light from our lives, the difference, the new self, the light from our lives should expose the sins of others so that it becomes visible. And you're living your life, it will. You know, we imitate God with our lives. People are going to know. They're going to see. And they will know when they're doing something that you don't agree with. I would like to read the last few verses again, but I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And this is from verses 15 to 20, the last part of what we had read in chapter 5 there. "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here leaves us with some final instructions before he moves into more instructions about the home, and we won't be getting into that this morning, but we need to be careful in how we live our lives. We can't live our lives aimlessly, you know, making bad decisions and as ruining one's life. We can't do that. But we need to be wise, using discretion in what we do and say. We need to understand what the Lord wants you to do and lead a life, a Spirit-directed life. And we need to be thankful. Again, we read earlier, but we need to be thankful for all things. Are you imitating those whose lives reflect truth revealed in the gospel? Paul, in his letter to the Philippian church, wrote, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." We're commanded to observe those who walk according to the pattern that they set for us. As men and fathers here this morning, we need to develop a godly character that others may follow. We need to be spiritual leaders. We need to show commitment to our families. Be responsible for our actions. There are many passages, many chapters and verses in the Bible that we need to apply to a Christian walk. And the verses and the passage that we looked at this morning is only a small piece of instruction. There's many other places we could go. We're called to imitate. We're called to follow. We need to be an example. And we need to take these truths and apply them to our lives. And I like the verses in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." More instruction here from Paul. And today, being Father's Day, it's going to be different for each one of you here this morning, and your experiences are going to vary. But if you are a father here this morning, don't neglect that responsibility in your role as a father that you have with your family. And for others here this morning, if you were raised in a Christian home with Christian values like the ones we looked at this morning, so often we take these values for granted. The sacrifices that were made on our behalf, we take for granted at what our parents did for us. And I hope you can find a way today to bless your dad and thank him for the role model that he is in your life. Some of you may not have had positive experiences with your dad. He may not have been the role model that he should have been. There may be some deep pain. There may be some wounds, some scars from the way he treated you. And I hope this morning that you find the strength to forgive. May you forgive him for that. For others, your dad may not have been present in your life at all. You may never have had the opportunity at a relationship with him. But this I know, that regardless of your experience, you have a heavenly Father who loves and cares deeply for each one of you. And he wants you to follow the example that he gave us in his son, Jesus. Now, I'd like to close with the verses from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. "But as for you, O man of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Kyle, if we could have a song at this time.